Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and you're listening to Financial Survival. We'll be joined by Wendy Wilson in just a minute. We'll go through the metals and the markets. And about 20 after hour, we're going to be joined by Millie Cedarstrom with a lot of news to cover. Welcome to today's program. And I'm glad you're with us, and I do mean that. And we'll get into the metals and markets. I'm going to get back to Wendy's topic today. Wendy's going to discuss telepathy. Yeah, she's going to read your mind today. So don't think too much while you're listening. But anyway, the metals are all down today a little bit. Gold still over 1900, but it's now 1950 to 1949.10. Silver's down 8 cents to 22.54. Platinum is down $23 to 8.68. Palladium is down $6 to 1,034. The markets hit, not much change. Dow was down 20 to 34.104. NASDAQ was up about 24 to 13.644. S&P was up about 6 to 43.84. FTSE was up 0.48 to 7846. The DAX was up 0.51 to 15229. Nikkei was down 0.33 to 32166. Hang Seng was down 0.58 to 17568. Oil, believe it or not, was down today, $1.78 to 75.89. You know, you think with all that in the Middle East, oil will be kind of going up in price, but surprise, surprise. The USDX was up 0.01 to 105.55, and the 10-year yield was down 0.058 to 4.513%. So anyway, there you go. Markets and metals, yeah, not much change either way. Metals down slightly, which is temporary, folks. It's going to be going back up again. So buy them when you can. Well, don't put it up much longer. I talked later, they put $30,000 into a CD. You're getting 4.5% interest. I thought, how silly. Inflation between 12 and 15% a year, where they lose money every day. 800-375-4188 to call Melody and talk to her. Matter of fact, you can do it right now if you want to, and tell her I said call right now, and you can do that. But if you do that, you're going to miss Wendy Wilson with the Pocket Theory Herbs and her information, which is always interesting, and she loves bringing it to us. Wendy, welcome to the program.
Well, Merry Christmas, Pastor Butch.
yeah, really. Happy New Year. Yeah.
Well, we
are getting close to Thanksgiving, and I'm looking forward to that. I love Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I know, but time is going so fast. We're going to be in Christmas before you know it. But I enjoy being with you and all the listeners. I thought today we'd talk about telepathy research. This is a recent report, Pastor Butch, from Duke University in North Carolina. And they're bringing mankind closer and closer to telepathy as a form of communication. Now, according to their report, the infamous brain chips or implants will be bringing us a step closer to accomplishing communication for neurological disabled patients, of course. However, you know, can science really, and can the biotech industry resist the temptation to leverage the research into a new way of communicating among the masses? I say they can't. Well, this is what Duke said. Brain implants may enable communication from thoughts alone. Prosthetic decode brain signals from the brain speech center to predict the sound a person would say. So this is a study where they had neurologists and neurosurgeons at Duke University along with biotech engineers, and they've been working on a device that can translate a person's thoughts or brain wave signals and read what they were thinking and bring it into words. Now, of course, the initial start for this research was a brain-computer interface. But the future biotech is going to be wireless. So currently, this area of scientific medicine is called speech prosthetics, and the research did get published in the November Journal of Nature Communications. Any questions so far?
No. You lost me almost the word woman. Go ahead. I'm here.
Okay. Well, the speech decoding equipment used today, Pastor Butch, is much slower than how people speak. And one reason for the lag time is there's not enough brain activity sensors, and this provides less deciphering information. So the research team at Duke University is trying to improve on the technology limitations by replacing the sensors with a high-density, ultra-thin, flexible sensor. So they're working with 256 microscopic brain sensors that are packed into the size of a postage stamp, and they're made from medical grade plastic. So basically science is doing what they always do. They find these things and they slate it for, you know, people they're going to help with a disability, but in the long run they have other plans for their creation. So the research lists patients with disabilities that would benefit from regaining the ability to communicate through better biotech, and patients with motor disorders like sclerosis or Locked-in syndrome, which is a form of paralysis, would be candidates for the brain implants. And the cost of these treatments is pretty expensive. Now, Elon Musk's Neuralink implant is $2,000 to $3,000 for sensors, but that doesn't include the surgeon's fee or any of the follow-up visits afterward. So it does add up. All right, so here's what Gregory Kogan, he's a PhD professor of neurology at Duke, he says, we've been researching ways to better assist patients with impairments with the ability to speak, and the current tools available to allow them to communicate are generally very slow and cumbersome. People, he says, speak around 150 words per minute, and the speech decoding equipment currently available clocks in at about 78 words per minute. So they're wanting to make it real time, where you can, I guess, read a person's thoughts telepathy-wise. So here's what they did. The three neurosurgeons recruited four patients that were scheduled for brain surgery for conditions like Parkinson's disease or brain tumor removal, and there was limited time frame of 15 minutes for them to test the implants in the OR. Now, the technology recorded brain activity from each patient's speech motor cortex, which coordinated nearly 100 muscles that move your lips, tongue, jaw, and larynx. So the device recordings were fed into a computer, obviously artificial intelligence algorithm, to see how accurate it would predict what sounds were being made by just the brain activity alone. So there are some bugs that they have to work out, though, Pastor Butch. The computer program struggled with similar sounding letters like B as in baby and D as in David. And on the first try, the decoder was 40% accurate with 90 seconds of spoken data within a 15-minute brain-to-speech collected data phase. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's not that impressive yet, but keep on going.
Well, I know, but it's getting there. This is what Professor Kogan says. We're excited about our cordless version of this device. With a recent $2.4 million grant from the National Institutes of Health, you'll be able to move around, and you won't have to be tied to an electrical outlet, which is really exciting, end of quote.
Wow.
So it's going to be a little while before the wireless speech prosthetic, if you will be on market shelves. Currently, speech is still much slower than the natural way of speaking, but they are on a trajectory with the artificial intelligence algorithm to achieve their goal of returning speech to the speechless patients and beyond. So the possibilities are endless with this. Giving men capabilities not naturally born with is the offshoot of medical technology these days. They call it human enhancement. I think you've heard of that, right?
Yes, I have. Yes.
So brain sensors placed into healthy patients for the ability to communicate faster with technology and for fastest communication through telepathy is on the horizon. This is what the peer review research said back in 2016. They said, thanks to recent scientific developments in areas such as biotechnology, information technology, and nanotechnology, humanity will be on the cusp of an enhancement revolution. They went on to say, in the next 2 or 3 decades, people may have the option to change themselves and their children in ways that up to now have existed largely in the minds of science fiction and the creators of comic book superheroes, end of quote. That is some statement, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Wow.
Well, and they have an ethical issue, but really, ethics is not a problem, it seems. From what I can tell from reading a lot of these scientific reports, man is losing the ethical battle on the human enhancement due to the fact that science is allowed to conduct the research. So in 2016, the peer review research, they discussed the ethic issue on human enhancement. They divided into 2 positions that was described as humanity plus. And it is very disturbing to read that scientists are willing to convert a human with body parts to make them stronger, smarter, faster, but they can still recognize them as a human. So the other position they covered was called post-humanity, but it's now called post-humanism. You've heard that.
Oh, yes.
This position foresees dramatic advancements with genetic engineering and integrating biotechnology to create conscious machines that may or may not look human at all. Now, I have many times said, you know, science will bring forward human enhancements marketed for disabled folks, but the real money is going to be marketing the technology to healthy people and recreate humanity. That's the goal. The peer review said this enhancement revolution, if and when it comes, may well be prompted by ongoing efforts to aid people with disabilities and to heal the sick. So that's how they sell it to you initially. And that's how they get approval initially. They went on to say, to those who support human enhancement, many of whom call themselves transhumanists, technological breakthroughs are springboards not only to healing people, but to changing and improving humanity. So that's the real goal there. Healing people that can't speak or hear or see, that's just, you know, the cherry on top. That the real issue is they want to recreate man, see? So peer review goes on to say, transhumanists predict that a convergence of new technologies will soon allow people to control and fundamentally change their bodies and minds. And instead of leaving a person's physical well-being to the vagaries of nature, supporters of these technologies contend that science will allow us to take control of our species development, making ourselves the future generation stronger, smarter, healthier, and happier. I don't think happier will be part of that. Do you, Pastor?
I don't think so either. And they've been talking about, you know, transhumanism now for many years, and they're getting closer to it every day. It's spooky.
Oh, I know.
It's really spooky.
It is spooky. It is spooky. Now, in 2023, there are we are kind of living in this age of this enhancement, even if medical science does not truly understand the complete function of the human body or mind. But to science, humans are an experiment. I want people to understand that. You know, against your will, doesn't matter to them. You are an experiment. And I dare say, either with or without a person's permission, that's how they think. So designer babies are being born with gene editing, and it's not a far-fetched, really, to think that the ultra-thin brain sensors could be used by, let's say, military, politicians, business CEOs, and others for tactical and personal advantage over others. So reading a person's thoughts is not too far off, Pastor Butch. Enhancement, transhumanism, or whatever you want to put a label on it, what we're really talking about here is eugenics. That's what we're talking about.
Well, you know, you talk about experimenting on humans. They've been doing that long before you and I even knew what that was. I mean, they've been experimenting on people since who knows when, especially since with the vaccines and over the last couple hundred years, 150 years. It's all experimental.
Well, if you think about it, it's as old as dirt, because Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so will the time be before my return. So Oxford University, this is Nick Bostrom. He's a director of Future Humanity Institute there. He said, this may be the era where serious enhancement first becomes possible, because it's easier to do many things at the embryonic stage than at the adult human stage. So they want to start early in the birthing process with this kind of stuff too. So think, you know, babies in artificial wombs or maybe in a natural womb. They could do surgery on babies when they're in their womb and put in some brain implants. Yeah, not a big deal. Enhancement continues to captivate the popular imagination, Pew Review said. And they also said a new survey, a Pew Review Center, suggested weariness in the U.S. population about these emerging technologies. And they said, for example, 68% of Americans say they would be very or somewhat worried about using gene editing on healthy babies to reduce the infant's risk of serious disease or medical conditions. And a majority of the U.S. adults, 66%, said they would definitely or probably not want to get a brain chip implant to improve their ability to process information. Well, you know, thank God for that, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I'm just telling you, I'm going to wind this down here, Pastor Butch, because this is a professor of ethics at Victoria University in Wellington, New Zealand. This is Nicholas Agar. He says, we are no longer living in a time when we can say we either want to enhance or we don't. We are already living in the age of enhancement. So everything now is so intertwined. It grows increasingly hard to live without technology. They're making it harder for you to function. So Joel Garou, he's a journalist. He's also the author of the book Radical Evolution, The Promise and Peril of Enhancing Our Minds, Our Bodies, and What It Means to Be Human. He said many of these advances come from the convergence of more than one type of technology, from genetics, robotics, nanotechnology, and information technology. He says these technologies are intermingling and feeding on one another, and they are collectively creating a curve or a change unlike anything we humans have ever seen. And Robert Bryce, he's also the author, as well as a scientist and inventor, he says smaller, faster, lighter, denser, and cheaper, these developments will occur at an accelerated rate as technologies build on each other. So we're experiencing probably 20,000 years of progress at lightning speed right now, Pastor Butch.
That doesn't speak well of the future for me at all.
I know. It's good that we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, isn't it? I mean, because
we wouldn't have a prayer. No, we wouldn't. If it weren't for that hope and the joy and peace he gives us in this wicked world, I can understand why people want to hide themselves in booze or drugs, because your mind can't handle it without that peace.
Yes, people need to seek the Lord's face, because he's your peace and comfort for sure.
Amen.
And he's given us a promise, too, that, you know, you can use medicinal herbs for wellness and protect yourself from plagues and things. And Bible is clear about that. We have pitcher's plants for smallpox, gentian root for Ebola. We've got thyme tincture for tuberculosis. We got a lot of stuff that we can use. We have tools, and he's provided those for us. And right now we're having a customer appreciation sale at Apothecary Herbs, so it's 10% off and free ground ship. Details are online, or people can call 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or visit thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, because time is a runaway train. It's what it is
yes,
right
it
now.
Is. Yes, it is. Oh, so many things to cover. Thank you, Wendy Wilson, for being with us today. I appreciate it. And Lord,
sure.
We'll see you next week, okay?
Okay. Take care now. Bye-bye.
God bless, sweetheart. Bye-bye. Folks, back at the break, we're going to talk to our boss, Melody Seastrom, today. We're going to join us today. A lot to talk about, a lot of information. Don't y'all go away.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Seederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Seederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Seederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down.
Alrighty, folks, we are back, and we're being joined up by Melody Seastrom, and she is the head of Discount Gold and Silver. The lady's been around this business now for, well, she's been around about as long as she's been alive, to tell you the truth. So,
it's true.
And she's pretty
I
much
started very
what's
young.
Happening. You started when you were 2 years old, I know, but anyway.
Yeah, I did.
So she's with
I'm
us today.
Genius.
Melody, we've been going through with talking Wendy, of course. I'm going to let you go ahead and say what you want to say. And I covered the markets and the metals, which are all down today a little bit. But you go ahead.
Oh, you want me to go ahead?
Yeah, you go
really?
Ahead. Say what's your mind today.
Oh, what's on my mind? Well, Thanksgiving is coming.
Yes, it is. It really is.
Yeah, but you know what? There's some information out there. You have mortgages and HELOC balances, delinquencies, foreclosures. You know, things are, you know, the outstanding balances are ticking up 1% in the third quarter from the second quarter to a new record of $12 trillion. Mortgage balances outstanding ticked up. So, again, aren't things great? Delinquencies are going to continue to rise, and we have the household debt surpasses $17 trillion in the third quarter. Hello.
That's half the national debt.
Yeah, how about that?
So it is really kind of, and then you got the old Yellen, Republicans' IRS funding cut would hurt customer service goals. And you know what? This is what the Democrats are pushing right now, because, you know, the Republicans are trying to cut the funding, you know, all the excess funding to the IRS. I've seen people do charts on MSNBC saying, well, you know what? You know, by cutting this, that means they're going to, you know, lose this much amount of tax dollars. And, you know, the government can do that. And it's just like, listen to these people. That's all they want is more taxes so they can do more spending. It isn't about cutting anything. Gee whiz. You know, we can't get the tax revenue. So, Dad, did you ever think about cutting something? Butch.
Can't do that.
The word we use very frequently on this program. Insanity. It's insane.
It is. It really is.
And when you look at the election, and you know what? Republicans, wake up. Whether you're a Republican or what, conservative, wake up. The Democrats flat out, look at the elections last night, Butch.
Yeah, I see that. I saw that. Yes. Yes.
And you know what? It's like, you know, they just lie so much. They have these people so buffaloed. And the Republicans, they think that you're out there, they think they're out there winning something by supporting President Trump. But President Trump is going to lose the election because they will be replacing Biden. And I'll guarantee you, whoever replaces Biden, he'll win with a landslide if Trump would get the nominee or the nomination. So, I mean, it's just, I mean, and you know, these elections yesterday, they were no big deal, but it kind of gives you an idea of the heartbeat. But Butch, the Republicans are so stupid.
Well, the people are seeing through the facade of so-called Republicans because they're not doing anything anyway.
They're not. They do nothing. All they talk about is the Biden economics, and you know, they make fun of it and stuff like that. But you know what? It's interesting. People still care about abortion.
Yeah. Yep.
And Democrats think it's, you know, they will vote whoever based on, and yet look what the Republicans are doing. They're totally ignoring these very, it's just amazing. It's designed for them to lose.
Well, they're doing a good job of it.
They are. And I'm sorry, I know a lot of our listeners love Donald Trump. I get that. I understand it. So you'd rather support Donald Trump and go all the way and not care whether, you know, these Democrats take over and just finish the job a little more quickly than if somebody else ran other than President Trump.
You know, on that topic, who would you like to see become the Republican nominee?
I mean, our choices are limited. I get
very
that.
Very limited. Very limited.
But look at our, but let's compare them to the Democrats. I would choose, well, there's a debate on tonight with five of them. I would choose any one of those over any other Democrat.
Oh, I understand that. I do. I do. But it's such a weak, such a narrow margin of difference anymore, Melody, that you really can't trust any of them. And the Republicans, like when under Trump, was in charge of everything for 2 years and did nothing. The only thing Trump did, I agree with wholeheartedly, is he slowed down the flow at the border. He did do that.
When you look at his son-in-law, who's what, an Orthodox? I don't know what you call him, an Orthodox. And then all of a sudden, Jerusalem is the capital. You don't think that didn't add a little bit of irritation to where what happened in Israel now? And there's some other things that happened in there? You know, and it's just, I don't know. Well, I would still rather have one of those five than any Democrat. Is it going to make any difference? It just slows things down. That's
well,
all.
Well, the choices that we've had to choose in my lifetime have gotten worse with every election.
Absolutely.
So we're down to the bottom of the barrel, so to speak.
We are.
Yeah. So anyway.
But then look at the Democrats. At least I can tolerate a Republican there. It's very difficult to tolerate a Democrat in there. Very difficult. Anyway.
Well,
I got that
tell.
Off my chest. So wake up out there. I get you want to support President Trump. I get that. But he won't be president. So move on, Butch.
Okay. Well, there's a lot to cover besides that, of course, and a lot of things happen. And I do, you know, you brought up the topic of the banks problem with the banking service being disrupted. Michael Snyder wrote an article, I got part of it here, that I think it should get people's attention enough that they might want to think about what they're putting the trust in as far as finances go. Why are online banking services suddenly being disrupted on a massive scale all over the United States? This was not, folks, as Matt Melody said, this was not an isolated incident. This is all of the United States. Should we be concerned about all the problems that are suddenly erupting in our banks? U.S. banks have been shutting down hundreds of branches. They've been laying off thousands of workers. And as I discussed yesterday, vast numbers of customer accounts are being unceremoniously shut down without any warning whatsoever. If all that wasn't bad enough, now endless glitches are plaguing your banking system. For example, the glitch that caused paychecks not to be deposited at Monday at many banks on Friday still has not been fully resolved. Customers at U.S. banks, including Bank of America and Wells Fargo, complain about delays with the direct deposit on Monday following a glitch with processing payments that began Friday. The Federal Reserve on Friday said that the problem wasn't related to a cybersecurity issue and that it had been resolved. But customers on Monday continued to report delays with direct deposits. Reaching out to the banks on social media report that their paychecks hadn't landed in their accounts as expected. Wells Fargo and Bank of America referred questions to the Clearinghouse as a payments company that operates the only private sector automated clearinghouse system in the U.S. I've never seen a problem with direct deposits that is so widespread. The clearinghouse is promising to have things fixed as quickly as possible. That can mean just about anything. The clearinghouse, a private operator of ACH and CNN on Monday, it is working with banks and the Federal Reserve to resolve this issue as quickly as possible. Many of the delayed payments have already posted and will be continue working with financial institutions to ensure the remaining transactions are processed. The clearinghouse spokesman Greg McSweeney said in an email. Industry source confirmed to CNN on Monday that it's likely that some customers haven't received their deposits yet. The source stressed that banks are at the mercy of the originating bank to resend payment files. Meanwhile, online banking services are suddenly being disrupted all over the country on a massive scale. Steve Quayle was putting this on his website, and this prompted me to go to downdetector.com to check it out for myself. And I discovered that all of the big banks were experiencing unusual outages on Monday. That is really odd for all the big banks to experience it at one time.
Well, it just wasn't on Monday. It started last week.
Yeah, it did.
This country. It was globally.
That is amazing.
And supposedly, they were supposed to only start redepositing today.
You know, people like myself and others, we kind of live on a pay schedule. You know, we have bills to pay probably the same day their checks come in. We got to take care of. So this puts a glitch in not just in individuals, but I guess businesses also. This will hurt a lot of people, won't it?
Yeah.
So think it over, folks. I know that our retirement checks are direct deposited and paychecks direct deposited. You should have something put back in case it happens to you. Something to fall back on. At least a little bit of cash stored somewhere.
But these were actually ACH,
yeah,
transfers,
yes,
which involves more than just paychecks. It's just not paycheck. I mean, there's a ton of business, so it's various different types of transactions, not just payroll, Butch. I just happened to learn from it from a payroll company before anybody else did. So. But there's different, anything that's an ACH transfer could have been infected.
Yep, I agree. I agree. And no one seems to know what caused it yet. That's what's got me concerned. No one seems to know what happened. At least they're not telling us what happened. Mm-hmm. That's really odd, isn't it?
Very.
Move on to something else, folks. Now, you may well pay attention to this article also, because this is a very good article. This is just part of it. I did print it off. I'll put it in the next month's magazine. 2000 gold is just the beginning. Here's what happens next. Public Law 93-373 was supposed to be so boring that Congress didn't even bother to give it a name. You know how most laws passed by Congress have some fancy name, like the Inflation Reduction Act, or the USA Patriot Act, or some such nonsense? Well, on November 7th, 1973, U.S. Senator James Fulbright introduced a very short bill. It's only one page. That didn't even have a name. But Fulbright's unnamed bill ended up being one of the most important pieces of legislation in U.S. history. By the time Fulbright introduced his bill, it had been 2 years since the legendary Nixon shock in 1971. That was when the U.S. President Richard Nixon implemented his wages and price controls, and I remember that very well, folks, and canceled the U.S. dollar's convertibility into gold. Nixon famously promised the American public that there wouldn't be any negative consequences from his actions. Just like it did in 1964 when taking silver out of the coins. There'll be no change, folks. Oh, we are so naive. Anyway, yet inflation hit 3% the following year. Now, folks, doesn't that sound really low today? This is in 1972, that's when it hit 3%. Then in 1973, it hit 4.7%. And then in 1974, 11.2%. Four times what it was just 2 years earlier because of the takes off the gold standard. Simultaneously, gold prices around the world were surging. Now pay attention, because this is important. From $35 an ounce before the Nixon shock in 1971, to more than 170 in 1974 when inflation hit 11.2%. Now gold's right at $2,000 an ounce. What does that tell you about the dollar and inflation? What's that tell you about the instability of what's left of our so-called financial structure? Folks, this didn't happen overnight. This had been 50 years ago. And boy, is it hurting today. Melody in comments.
No, I think people feel the hurt, and you know. But again, I think so few people know what to do about it, and it's probably one of the easiest and simplest things that you could make a decision on. And you're just converting those paper dollars into real money. That's all you're doing when you buy gold and silver. It's that simple.
Into a hard asset that you can hold in your hand that's worth something, folks.
Yep.
Not a piece of paper. Not a promissory note, a piece of paper.
I had a gentleman yesterday, Butch, say, "Well, you know, he ended up buying, you know, gold, and he's been buying for a long time." And he says, "Yeah," he says, "I bought uranium. I got this. I got that. And you know, when they're going to need it, when you know, to do this, and you know, to do this, and to build this, and then the electric vehicles, and it's like, well, you're just assuming that that's a great economy." But yet you believe there's going to be a world depression, that the whole world monetary system is going to collapse. So how is that going to work out for you? There will be a time to purchase those things, but is now the time? I don't know. But when you buy gold and silver, you can always put it away, and you can always sell it and go back into the paper.
Uranium right now is a gamble. Gold and silver is not.
Exactly. And again, you buy uranium, and guess what? You're getting a piece of paper, aren't you?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
So no matter what physical thing you think that you purchase, you buy it in paper, it's paper. So go ahead, Butch.
And something not held in your possession is not really yours. I know sure. The promises, and the people on the other side may have good intentions, but that don't mean the thing's going to work out the way they should. Get it in your hands, so if everything falls apart, at least you can get your hands on it, and not wait in hope. They're going to send you some.
And it's one thing if you have disposable income. So if you go out and venture and you go want to go in, is it money you can afford to lose? If it is, go for it. That's how you determine how much and so forth if you want to go into something different. Can you afford to lose it? Well, if not, then you know what to do.
The main thing is, folks, think it through and pray it through and look at the results. Mel, do you want to take us out?
Yes. We'll be right back. Okay. How was that?
That was hard.
It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby. Don't say baby. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. So open up, I'm climbing in. So take it easy.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul. What do you have next for us, sir?
I've got something here that's interesting to the point that I'm going to make a good point out of this. Newsom, good old Governor Newsom, signs $25 minimum wage law for all ALL hospital workers. Found out afterwards it would cost California $4 billion. Who cares? Governor Hairspray doesn't pay attention much to California's budget numbers when he signs off on a bill. It's as if putting on a green visor would mess up his costly cough. So in no surprise to the rest of us, Gavin Newsom was in for a surprise. According to Los Angeles Times, it says this. When Governor Gavin Newsom signed the law that said a first in the nation a minimum wage for health care workers, three words in a bill analysis foretold potential concerns about this cost. Fiscal impact unknown. But he didn't care. Now, 3 weeks after Newsom signed SB 525 into law, giving medical employees at least $25 an hour, including support staff such as cleaners and security guards, his administration has an estimated price tag of $4 billion in the 2024-25 fiscal year alone. Now, the state's going to pay $4 billion. I take it back. The taxpayer is going to pay $4 billion. And $25 an hour sounds fantastic, folks. But I'm going to tell you something that's a fact. I want you to weigh this in, when I weigh this in your mind. I'm going to say this. Think it through. Don't have a knee-jerk reaction. But think it through and make sure that I'm telling you the truth. $25 an hour is less than $1 an hour in 1964. Because a silver dollar is worth an average $30. So if you got paid 8 silver dollars, you're making more than $25 an hour. $8 for 8 hours is better than $25 an hour because it's paid in fiat currency worth nothing. It's just, all it does put you in a higher tax bracket and cause inflation. But I don't know how many people think about that.
Well, you know, people aren't used to dealing with real money, so they have a hard time of, you know, really understanding. As long as those paper dollars spend at the stores, they think that, you know, all's good. But yet, they're having issues. They're using their credit cards to live on a daily basis and so forth. So, and so, yeah, I mean, it's a great example to see exactly what has happened to the fiat dollars.
I just wish we could. I really wish I could have, I would have a chance to talk to everybody in this country for just on this one topic briefly for just a few minutes. I think I could, if they were where I could do a physical presentation, could show them the comparison between a dollar and a real dollar and a piece of paper. I think they understand how we've been ripped off big time, big time. Taxpayers paying millions for child medical mutilation. Oh my goodness, folks! This thing they're going to stop. As the gender surgery industry in the United States is expected to grow to $5 billion, let me repeat that, gender surgery industry is going to grow to $5 billion by 2030, 6 years from now. Many states are giving the industry tens of millions in taxpayer dollars to reimburse hospitals for harmful puberty blockers, hormone treatments, and mutilating surgeries administered on children. Researchers at Cedars-Sinai Medical Centers in Los Angeles reviewed the medical policies for all 50 states and found that at least 25 states were using taxpayer money to cover gender surgeries in February 2021. As of November 2023, at least 26 states allow the medical insurance programs for low-income families to cover medically mutilating procedures on minors. Melody, that is absolutely sick and perverted beyond words.
It is.
And we're paying for it.
Mm-hmm. We are. Let's get another Democrat. Let's get more Democrats in office.
Exactly. Well, the state of Ohio is going to continue murdering babies, I guess, up to about any time during the pregnancy. So a lot of that will be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Hope they're happy.
Yep. Oh, I'm sure Democrats are very happy.
Credit card balances spiked in the third quarter to $1.8 trillion record. In one quarter, $1.8 trillion. Americans now owe $1.8 trillion on their credit cards, according to a new report on household debt from the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Credit card balances spiked by $154 billion year over year, notching the largest increase since 1999, New York Fed found. Credit card balances experienced a large jump in the third quarter, consistent with strong consumer spending and real GDP growth, said Dong-Hoon Lee, the New York Fed Economic Research Advisor. Credit card delinquency rates also rose across the board. Let me repeat that. Credit card delinquency rates also rose across the board, according to New York Fed, especially among millennials or borrowers between the age of 30 and 39 who are burdened by high levels of student loan debt. With most people feeling strained by higher prices, particularly for food, gas, and housing, more cardholders are carrying debt from month to month or falling behind on payments, and a greater percentage of balances are going more than 180 days delinquent, according to a separate report from the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Nearly one-tenth of credit card users find themselves in persistent debt where they are charged more in interest and fees each year than they paid toward the principal. A pattern that is increasingly difficult to break, the consumer watchdog said. So they're making payment toward the principal, but they're losing ground because of persistent debt because of the interest rates and fees charged. It's a big deal, said Ted Roseman, senior industry analyst at Bankrate. Your credit card is probably your highest cost debt by a wide margin.
Yeah.
Wow. They're actually paying on it, but losing ground.
Yeah, because they can't afford to pay anything more than the minimum balance. You know, $200 bill will take you 5 years to pay off.
It's unbelievable. It is. It's just so sad because of the. I mean, it's a ripoff. We know it is, but people are desperate. Milk. They can't afford to buy milk for the baby.
Well, they had these credit cards though before they ran out of, you know, unable to buy milk for the baby. So, you know, people just, we've been conditioned to chase these carrots. We expect to live the same lifestyle as wealthy people as the first percentage. And so they've opened up all the ability for people. People were bought hook, line, and sinker. We can't, you can't live the same way as the 1% on credit cards.
And you can't live the same lifestyle you did 5 years ago on credit, because you don't be, the dollar doesn't go as far. So get over it. You're going to have to do without something to make ends meet. That's hard to accept that. It really is.
It's difficult.
I mean, people work hard all their lives, Melody, and they end up having to cut back on everything because the finances are not able to cover the debt. Even they're barely covering the necessities, but they worked hard all their life. They're frustrated. They've earned a better life. But they can't afford it now. That's the sad part.
It's the very sad part. And you know what? We talk about our mental health in this country. How often do you hear about people get addicted to shopping because they're bored, they're depressed? So we're a country of consumerism. Well, what percent of that 70% of consumerisms are people mentally depressed? And they buy things just to buy things.
Of course. It's like people overeat and snack all the time because they're depressed. Of course.
Yeah. So but look, it's not, you know, this nation isn't healthy. Just, and I don't, you know, it, just like our financial system, it's not healthy.
Well, there's one good thing about the, we can be thankful for this, because this makes us all feel warm and cozy inside, Melody.
Okay.
Congress sneaks in stealth $34,000 pay raise. Gates, AOC, among more than 200 lawmakers to benefit. Wow. As House Democrats were set to hand power over to Republicans following their midterm loss, they slipped a provision to the House of Internal Rules under the guise of aiding their less affluent members. I know AOC's broke and can't afford anything. I realize that. So she's earned this. A $34,000 allowance to essentially help with living expenses in Washington, D.C. I wonder who's going to help the living expenses of somebody living in Charleston, West Virginia that can't buy food or anywhere else. This is absolutely insane and putrid. It stinks. And people tolerate it. A deep dive into the records by the Washington Free Beacon reveals that over 200 lawmakers, including ferocious representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and have dipped into this taxpayer-funded pot, a sumptuous feast on the nation's dime. Ocasio-Cortez, who has previously lamented the costliness of D.C. living on a congressperson's salary, she has a hard time making it, folks, $180,000 a year. Now enjoys taxpayer support for accommodation and luxury building replete with amenities that seem more Silicon Valley than Capitol Hill. So far, 113 Democrats and 104 Republicans, including millionaire members like Representative Katie Porter, Democrat of California, and House Minority Whip Catherine Clark from Massachusetts, have partaken in the program, drawing $1.4 million from taxpayers during the first half of 2023 alone. Oh, it is such a great country to live in. I have never had a chance to vote myself a pay raise. Have you, Melody?
No. Well, let's start.
I think we should do that right away. And out of curiosity, how much is our retirement funds going to go up the first of the year? What's the percentage this year? Do you know?
Yeah, we talked about it yesterday.
Remember what it was?
Oh, Butch.
Oh, okay. Well, if you don't remember, it's okay. I know it was yesterday. I understand.
It was just yes. It was all the way yesterday. You know? I know that's hard for a 39-year-old to.
Oh, gee. But
admit,
anyway.
But...
I'm thinking around 5%. Maybe wrong. Is that close?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, okay, that's great. All right.
Move on, would you please?
Move on. Okay, I'll move on. Move on. I don't want to embarrass any more folks because your mind's slipping. That's okay. But anyway, Bill Gates, we're in our time here so quick. Bill Gates'
yes.
digital IDs. Bill Gates says digital IDs will be mandatory to participate in society. I didn't write this article. Tomorrow, November 8th. That's today. Isn't that does tomorrow? It's Friday. Day 7th, right? No, day 8th. I'm sorry. Tomorrow, November 8th, 2023, a virtual launch event is to take place for what is termed the 50-in-1 agenda, 50-in-5 agenda. The United Nations, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and partners of the Rockefeller Foundation are launching a campaign to accelerate digital ID, digital payments, and data sharing rollouts in 50 countries under the umbrella of Digital Public Infrastructure, or DPI, by 2028. Wow. The United Nations Development Program has announced plans to roll out digital IDs worldwide by 2030, and they will be mandatory for people who wish to participate in society, say Reclaim the Net, who advocate for free speech and individual liberty online. Be mandatory by 2030. Folks, we're talking 6 years from now. Mandatory. This is the mark of the beast system, and it's coming to America and the world just as fast as time will take it. It's going to be hell on earth, folks, when this comes together for people that refuse to follow the guidelines. This is not, I didn't write this article. This is what they're saying themselves. Be mandatory. Bill Gates said be mandatory. And Bill Gates can't be wrong. So there we go. Any comments on Melody?
No, sir.
And we're not times quickly here, but women in Ukraine, folks, are starting to practice to go to war. Yeah, they are. And believe me, your daughters in America will be going to war also. Mark my word, it's going to happen in America. If not me, who? As Ukraine seeks troops, women prepare for the call. Hanna Vokakur, a clerk in a hardware store in Kyiv, was shorting a firearm for the first time. Irina Saivova, a purchasing manager of a department store, disassembled and reassembled the jumble of rods and springs in a Kalashnikov rifle. They were among two dozen women who turned out in a force near Kyiv one recent weekend for a course in firearms and urban combat, training that included shooting rifles, finding booby traps, and throwing hand grenades. They were spurred by a sense of duty, he said, realizing they might someday end up on the front lines. Nobody wants to fight in the trenches, says Ola Brakamatova, 46, a psychologist who attended the training. It's unusual to want it, but she felt it was inevitable that more women would wind up fighting, and she wanted to be prepared. Now understand, if not me, who, she said. After 20 months of full-scale war, the fighting Ukraine bogged down in vicious battles of attrition along a zigzag front line in the southeast. A steady supply of weapons and personnel are crucial, and while Ukraine has the benefit of Western-donated armaments, it relies on its own population as a pool for replenishing forces, and just Russia is about three times as large. There you go, Melody.
Wow.
And we're out of time, so I'll shut down on that one. But that's where we are. On the side of some good news, apparently China is starting to be more, people in China are starting to look at Americans as more favorably. So we'll see what happens to that. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. Miss Yellen has been working very hard with the Xi Jinping, whatever his name is. So not Xi Jinping, but Xi. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow, I promise. Until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my